Hawaii time is the best, because what that means for us, when someone says don't be on Hawaiian time, that's when I do what I just did now, come 15 minutes late. Is that Steven?
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. I think in Europe, it's Italian time.
Oh, the Italian. Well, it's Spain as well, isn't it? Mañana. You get most of those Latins.
Spain is more, they come the day after, yeah.
Yeah. You're relying on anyone from the south of France down to do anything on time, forget it.
Nope.
Hello, welcome to the Fanboy Show. Yes, we're here to distort all the news that's gone on in Apple, and I have a collection of fanboys like you would not believe this evening. I haven't got anyone to offset and try to speak reason like me. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple. Fantastic bunch. Absolutely fantastic bunch. Starting soft, top left, the ballast of the week, Dot Rock. The late Dot Rock, not dead, just late.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
How you doing, man?
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's good to see you too, pal. What have you been up to?
Oh, my God. Just slamming away. Summer season is so busy because, you know, not only get to do all the laser engraving, I am a wedding officiant, and in Hawaii, it's full swing wedding season. So I've been partaking in the nuptials for many a people and, you know, ruining their lives, yet I remain single.
That sounds like a Scottish prima nocta thing. Taking part in the nuptials. You Scottish lord, you. That's what the blues about, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, that and just being busy, just super busy. That's
good,
it.
Man. How's Etch getting on?
Oh, good. Very good. It's kind of insane right now. I'm in the middle of still yet doing this 1,000 bottle engrave. It's driving me insane. I look at the same thing over and over. Now I understand
that. You were in that last week.
I understand what people at factories feel like.
Oh, man. How's the 3D printing going as well? Because I haven't spoke to you much
about it. Oh, man. I've just been messing around with some of the settings. And so I think I'm going to try my first alternate filament pretty soon. I ordered some of this like stainless steel S type stuff, and it's supposed to be magnetically charged. So I can't wait to see what I can do with magnetic like metal filter.
That'll give you gems filament like you wouldn't believe.
You know what?
I finished that dog off, right? And I cannot print anything since. It's nothing's worked.
Oh, it screwed up your jets?
No. I cleaned everything out yesterday, but for some reason, it's just like nothing will stick anymore. It's gone horrific. So.
But we
should do a 3D printing show once a month or something. That'd be good.
I'm going to cancel my Amazon order and switch to something else like wood then.
Yeah. Whittle away, mate. Next to him, Andy and Natco, where the hell have you been?
No place that would make me look good if I told you where it was, and not because of nasty things that I've been doing that I don't want to confess to, but boring things such as staying up way too late doing things that I could have done at pretty much any other time of the day.
We've had a bit of a recent disaster because the last time you weren't on and should have been was when you nearly got blown off your bike because of some hurricane, and then when we actually did get you on, you turned up a day early, which was awesome. I was quite impressed with that. So we've got you here, mate. Congratulations. Thank you very much for coming along, I do believe.
Well, again, interesting that you're congratulating me for being on your show. It's kind of, I thought that English people were sort of like not quite so boastful, but again, I'm glad that some of the Yankee imperialism is starting to rub off on you guys.
No, I know what we've gone through to get you here.
All I can say is that you're finally enjoying the sweet kiss of independence and freedom that we Americans enjoyed 240 some odd years ago when we also split from our mother country. And yes, it was you people, but see, it just makes you just all full of beans, isn't it? You know, we can start referring to yourself in the first person again and talk about plans and dreams and aspirations.
Yep, we threw all the baguettes in the channel a couple of weeks back. That's it.
There you go. and for the first time, you can actually define what a hot dog roll is. You're not going to let some communist UN organization tell you that there is not enough grams of flour in that to be called a hot dog roll.
They all want us out, mate. They all hate us to death anyway. They've hated us for 40 years, mate. If this isn't the touch paper for a new global conflict, I'd be surprised. To be fair, though, mate, my daughter walked in the morning after the vote and said, does this mean people are coming to attack us now? And she was genuinely scared. She got tears in her eyes. No, darling, not yet. A couple of weeks.
Not yet.
It takes about 240 years.
mommy's only tilted the bed up and is doing those Sarah Connor pull-ups because she just wants to have good, good shoulders, not because of anything else. Don't worry about it.
Absolutely. Next to him, Steve Sandy.
Hello.
How is everybody?
How is Apple World today?
It is doing pretty good. Hey, I thought since this was a fanboy show, I would wear a kind of vintage Mac shirt. So I'm going to ask the rest of the panelists here today, what version of OS X was this shirt printed for?
Can I say Snow Leopard?
I would say Leopard.
Just Leopard.
Leopard. You've got it correct.
Just Leopard, yeah. Not Snow Leopard.
Yay, Patrice.
I have a certain funny picture. When that came out, I had to wear that shirt and leopard skin pants at the announcement.
That is not an image I needed for the day. Thank God I'm going to sleep soon.
Yeah, you're going to have nightmares about Doc wearing leopard.
Well, I figure he's got a similar physique to me. And I know what I'd look like in leopard skin pants. And you don't need that image either. So, typical. Sandy comes and throws all the spanners in the works at once.
I tried.
What have you been up to, buddy?
Let's see. Just doing a lot of work at Apple World today. We're cranking along. I think this is probably the best month we've had, or last month, I should say, was about the best month we've had income-wise for quite a long time. So things are definitely looking up. You know, we've seen a couple of other venerable websites definitely closing up recently. MacNN shut down after I don't know how many years, and so that was kind of a sad thing to see them go on the 1st of July. But it's definitely a hard market out there right now. I just need, you know, every time I get a chance and I'm on a show like this, I say, you know, if there are any billionaires who happen to be out there who just really need a fun little project, we could definitely use a bunch of funding.
Okay. Well, you've got one out there with really bad hair who'd probably chip in. if you tell him that you're going to build a free paywall between there and Mexico, then maybe.
Hey, yeah.
How do you feel about canned goods and used clothing in reparable condition?
Say that again?
How do you feel if money is not available about canned goods still within their expiration dates and used clothing in reparable condition?
I don't like that idea.
you're speaking to a freelance print journalist. I'll take you.
Good man. Next to him, Patrice. How you doing? There's a comment here in the chat room from Muller saying, was Patrice even born when Leopard was released?
Yeah, I was actually born at my first Mac came with Leopard, so...
Your first Mac came with Leopard?
Yeah, the first one I bought.
Christ.
Leopard.
I think my first Mac came on Pan America. I've probably got my Mac up here. I've got an SE up here, a prototype SE, and I reckon it's older than you.
Yeah. When the operating systems were called System,
right?
Came on.
We all got excited about the Multi-Finder.
System 3.3. In fact, actually, if anyone's listening and they have a copy of System 3.3, I will pay you good money for it because I want to restore that to its original. I've got System 7 on it, which was given to me by a very kind listener. Thank you very much. And it runs and it's perfect, but I want to put 3 on it because that's the one it's shipped with.
I'm pretty sure that I have that within reach because I have a stack of the like original, like the first year of like developer CDs when they even didn't have enough text to fill the CD. Apple's didn't have enough text to fill the CD-ROMs they sent to people. So the first months of them contained copies of like every version of Mac OS that they had ever shipped. And that was like in System 6 or System 7 days.
I've promised. So the local Apple store, I know a couple of the geniuses there, and I've promised them that if I can lay my hands on a disk of System 3, I will take it in and book a genius appointment to get them to install it. I'm sorry, but...
Just record that.
Can I have tech support, please, on my old Mac that's actually not a registered Mac? It's got no serial number on it because it was a prototype. So that would be awesomely cool if you've got that, Andy. We'll talk after. And last but by no means least, not that Patrice got to say anything during that intro.
No, that's fine.
I'm sure we'll be talking plenty during the show.
Yep.
Chuck, mate, welcome home. Where have you been?
Well, Well, thank you. It's so good to be back. I'm happy, happy to be here. I was going to run up to my closet. I have a polo shirt that has from Apple that has Sherlock. I think it was System 8 at the time. I'll put that on in Steve's honor, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do that when Patrice is talking or Doc, because they'll go on forever. we're on Fridays again now, so you can come back on.
I'm very happy to hear that. That's terrific.
Yeah. So we'll have you on more regularly now. That's good.
Thank you.
Good to know. Right, news this week. I guess the first one really to start off with is public beta of all of the OSs was released yesterday. Have you all had a download? Have you all had a play? And have you got any comments to kind of infuse people to take part in the public beta, or is it a piece of shit and we should stay away from it?
Well, always you should always say that you should never put betas of any operating system on any device that you're counting on to actually function. And that goes double for your phone because there's absolutely no expectation that any function of this is going to work. If you're expecting that, some of the fonts kind of went weird when I added a note this way, I'm talking about you suddenly have no phone service and suddenly it like locks up when you boot. These are all things you can expect to happen. So I'm pretty much begging people that unless you're a developer and you really do need to test out certain features of your software beforehand, only this is the time where you go into your child's room when they're out at soccer practice. You go to the nightstand where your old iPhone that you gave them and when you upgraded is charging. You reclaim it, and when they complain, they say, "Oh, I'm sorry. Did you actually give me $635 to pay me to own this phone?" Oh, so I was actually letting you use it to, okay, good. So long as we understand each other. Enjoy dad's old flip phone. It's called Motorola. It's called a StarTAC. And I think you're going to enjoy it until System 10 actually releases.
Andy, I feel really bad because I did exactly the opposite. I stole back the phone that I gave to my elderly parents because they couldn't use it, but
now
that's what I'm using now.
Who gave you life? Okay, now have you ever like given them life so that you'd be even?
That's illegal,
or,
isn't it?
Or are you kind of a terrible person?
No, I'm a good person except for that. Hey, I provide TV support. You know, I've set up their TV many times, and about every 2 weeks I have to go back over and fix it. So.
Hi, Mom, Dad, that phone I gave you, well, it broke, and I'd love to see you prove otherwise.
Sure. Yeah.
So have you all been really sensible and followed Andy's advice and done nothing? Nope. Or have you? Because I haven't. I followed Andy's advice. I don't put anything near anything.
Well, I'm a developer, and devices. I know what I'm doing. So I installed it basically the minute it came out. But I always have a machine that I can go back to that works.
So Doc and Patrice, the fanboys, Doc and Patrice instantly on minute one, sitting there minute after midnight going, give me the heartache and the bugs and the...
Yep. No, so let's give a caveat. Treese and I are both registered developers, so we can do which we will. Yeah. It's mostly the people who do it who aren't registered developers. Then their phone goes bonkers and they go on the internet screaming holy high murder because their phone is screwed up. Those are the people that need a slap.
Yeah, and this is why I've got this crappy little, I think it's an iPad mini too. I shouldn't, you know, kick a or look a gift horse in the mouth, whatever the saying is.
You say you got that free.
Somebody gave it to me. So, you know, it's running. Look. Ooh. And we could do a complete demo.
We basically do what Apple is asking us to do. I mean, why is Apple putting out those betas? So us developers, so we can try out the new stuff, can try out our apps, whether everything is working, can find the bugs in the operating system, report them, all of that. And that's why Apple does it. And we know what we're doing. I mean, I knew that the minute I installed it, everything might shut down, it might break, and I might not be able to use the phone at all for a couple of months.
Yeah. You do, and Doc does, and we probably all do here, but that's my issue with the public beta, because now Apple's thrown it out to everybody, and not everybody is as smart. Well, no one's as smart as Andy, but most people aren't even nearly as smart as Andy. So I think there's a lot of, ooh, something new and shiny, and I'm going to download it now, and I'm going to expect that everything works perfectly, and, you know, if something goes wrong, like, it's Apple's fault and all that.
I've got no idea how that came up in front of you. I'm so sorry about it. It's like, as soon as you,
like the whistleblower,
you just diss Andy and this huge block appears in front of your face that I'm going to edit out later.
I did not diss Andy. I
for saying a bad word about Andy Echo.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're right. I mean, I think the public beta is, I mean, just due to the fact that so many people were getting the beta through, I mean, on unofficial means, or they paid for it but weren't really developers. So Apple said, okay, screw it. We are going to give it to you after we've had at least a couple of weeks to test it with the developers. Then you will get it. And yeah, I mean.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it was only the second developer beta that I guess became the first public beta. So I think that shows that it's pretty stable to begin with. But, you know, I always wonder how many of the public are really filing radars and beta feedback and that stuff, and how many people just want the latest and greatest new shiny thing before anybody else.
I put it on a couple of things. Beta. They put an app on the public beta called, what is it called? I think
Feedback.
Feedback.
Yep.
So it's easier for them to do it. We developers, we still have to go through the good old or at least somewhat newer bug report system, but the public can just use this app, and I think that's a good move, because otherwise they will probably get zero response. Right.
Yep.
Well, the funny thing is going to be the minute, I want to say, of all of the betas that have been out so far, I said it last week, and I'll say it again, even with the new update, this has literally been one of the most stable initial betas to ever come out. But the everyone's rotation stops working, you're going to have all these people on the public beta screaming, oh, it's a piece of junk, my phone gets stuck in landscape mode, and blah, 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 because that is always one of the headaches of beta. And that's pretty much the only thing that drives me nuts thus far, holding my phone at weird angles trying to get it to go back to normal.
That and fast app switching that hangs just sometimes.
Yep. Yes, yes.
And also remember that beta software, it's not true that every release gets more and more stable. It depends on what Apple's focusing on at any one moment. So they could finally move on to, okay, great, this really, really tricky part of the file system that we had a hard time building, we're finally going to put that in the next beta, and now that's the version. The third beta that you downloaded after being lulled into this false sense of security complacency, that's the one that bricks your phone when you're at an airport. After the last taxis have left, because you're counting on Uber getting you that last 20 miles home.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, if you read the release notes, Apple is, at least with the early betas, they are really adding a lot of features to the release or to the beta release. So you never know. I mean, you might get a new feature that simply wasn't in there before and simply doesn't work and breaks everything.
You can see the release notes for that you agree to just being, it's a beta, WTF.
they are pretty detailed.
Yeah. No, it's a joke, Patrice. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I know.
The thing is, after all these years in the EU, we still haven't managed to export humour to the frigging Germans. And there's been free trade as well.
One of the things that has impressed me about the last couple of new...
Just before going on a trip a couple of years ago, I did one of the, I think it was an iOS update, and got to Iceland, first stop on our trip, pulled the phone out, and the phone was just bricked. It kept going through this, you know, starting up, get to a certain point, and it would just shut down. And it would start up, and then it would shut down. So I had to let the battery die. It didn't have a phone for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, whatever it was. But that's, you know, when I kind of, it sunk in that it's not a really good idea to put a beta on something that you're really relying on. So, you know, let's hear it for cheap iPads. They work.
Definitely. Go, Chuck, you had a point as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the things that I think is most notable about the last couple of releases of OS is across the board is that most of the cool stuff only happens when you've updated all your devices. It's it's the interoperability between everything, between the Mac and the phone, and now the watch and the phone. So you can't test or you can't experience the new automatic unlocking feature unless you've put the beta on your watch as well. So, you know, you're not going to get the full effect of a lot of this stuff until you're willing to put it on all your devices.
Yeah.
While you say that, I need to correct myself, which is not uncommon. I went on Bart's Let's Talk Apple podcast last Sunday night, and he released that pretty quickly. And before the next morning when I'd woken up, there was a correcting email from Jill. Thank you, Jill. but she was saying about number of attempts on the watch. And the number of attempts on the watch can be limited to 10. You have to go into the phone to limit it, though. And I've got to say, me and Bart were talking, and we both agreed that we were looking on the watch, really, for kind of security stuff in the settings there, and it wasn't. It was on the phone. But it's off by default. You have to enable it yourself, and if you don't, then you can brute force it. So, yeah. But apparently, as well, I said it was 4 digits, and it's not. You can put up to 10 in, so...
Yeah.
I will say, though, that the if there's one of the component of all of this that makes you want to just throw caution to the wind, the updates to watchOS, just the ability to have sort of a dock-style carousel and scroll through your recent apps with a flick of the finger, that's something that should have been there with 1.0, and it's really a transforming sort of thing. The reason why the Apple Watch stayed in my drawer after I finished writing about it was that it really almost anything that was going to take more than 2 seconds to do was something I would simply reach into my pocket and grab my phone to do, because it was just not convenient to do any of these functions. But I don't have it on my main phone, but I have been using it, the Apple Watch, with the new version of iOS, and it just seems like something that's more natural, more quick, more assured. So if you do find yourself trying to talk yourself into it, watchOS is one way to talk yourself into trying to walk on water.
I think one of the things I said on Bart's podcast was that I gave Apple a lot of credit for that, because I think they completely went to the UI and gone, do you know what? It's not working. Let's just start again. And Apple's not like that normally. They will pursue an idea but then you go back to what's his face and the skeuomorphic stuff not working.
Scott Forstall.
Forstall, and that had to all to disappear and stuff. But to be fair, you know, the glances idea, when it first came out, I was like, oh, that's okay. But then slowly I realized I was hardly using it. Yeah. So you know, by default, that meant that it had to change. And Apple, well done to you for actually going, do you know what? We actually created something that wasn't working, and we're going to start again. Top job, because you could have pursued that and forced us down a route that we didn't want.
Activity watch face are actually pretty good. I mean, yes. I would have loved to have that from day one.
I think when you think about it, watchOS 1 and 2 were pretty much big public betas, right? You know, yeah. I think they were so concerned about making sure there was enough battery life to last through an entire day that they really, you know, ramped everything down. And they saw in the real world how people were actually using it, and you could still get through a day and wind up with 60 or 70%. And I think everybody at Apple breathed a collective sigh of relief and said, okay, now let's open it up and let's ramp things up a little bit and let it do what it could have done all along and should have done all along.
Mm. Yeah, remember the famous story about the development of the iPhone, where it started out with all these engineers and executives saying that we all carry BlackBerries and Palm devices and Windows CE devices, and we started off by pointing out all the things that we hate about our phones, and that helped us to point ourselves in the right direction of designing the iPhone. And to one extent or another, that's been true of almost everything that Apple has been able to make. They've had a successful a product that's already been accepted by the consumer market to look at, to see how are they using it and how can we do it better. Nobody has really had a big success with watches yet. So everybody who is trying to make a smartwatch, including the companies that are focusing on fitness watches, they have to do what Apple and everyone else has to do, which is release something, hold your nose and release it, look at how your customers are using it, and then let that guide you as to what the second version should be like. Every device that I've used, including the one that I wear every day, the version 1 was pretty good, version 2 was really close to it, and then you're really looking forward to version 3. Like the next version of Android Wear coming out is like, oh goodness, it's, you know, it's like rocket ships, where the first Mercury sent astronauts up and then down again. Gemini was operations that took place in Earth orbit, and then finally, after you've learned all that sort of stuff, now you can start to send people to the moon and back. And at least with Android Wear, Google is sending watches to the moon and back. With watchOS 2, Apple's doing safe orbits and is doing rendezvous in Earth orbit.
I've got to say, I think the analogy of Alan Shepard sitting going, you sure this is going to work, and shitting it probably isn't going to be there. But yeah. Doc, you started on a point, Doc.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, if we were playing around the horn, I would have definitely gave Chuck the points up for the fact, you know, that's an American sports show where they put the pundits in and one guy gives them points to every time someone makes a salient point. Because often in sports argument, you get people that make non-salient points, like when Chelsea fans start talking. anyway, so what I was going to say is I agree with that idea of the fact that the initial two versions of the watch was basically a public beta, and I like the way Andy summed it up, because Andy is also correct in the fact that that is something that Apple has normally been able to do, is take what is the currently shipping and work from there. But we were kind of, everyone's been shooting in the dark this whole entire time, and it's unique, I guess, to sort of see, watch the organic growth and the organic changes and see what's coming. And I have never used my watch any more than I've used it since I put the beta on, and I find that odd because I was a person who was really using my watch. You know, I was making it work. But now that you feel the other way, it's almost like the first time you have an experience with something in your regular work for where you say, why haven't I been doing this all along? You know, why haven't I been using Dropbox all of this time? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like every once in a while you have something happens in tech and you wonder how you lived without it that way. And I think that's where we're getting with the watch. And I think we got one more leap to get it to where super, super salient to the average sentient being, but it's coming.
It's kind of like the killer app theory, right? You need that one killer app to make everything else make sense and to really help something get traction. And I think the killer app in this case may be watchOS 3 itself, the UI changes that they made.
Could be. But I have to disagree with one point. I mean, yes, it's probably true.
Are you German? What do you expect?
Wow, I can't believe that this family of nation states didn't stay together. I can't.
We got on fine till the other weekend. Yeah,
it's almost like you don't belong in the family of nations.
This tightly knit family is splitting itself apart.
Yeah, I mean the thing with the Apple Watch. Yes, it's probably unique that there wasn't too much of a competition before that. But even with the iPhone, for example. Apple has put out version 1 and then they learned from it, and version 2 changed, I would say, from a hardware a lot, from a software definitely a lot. So I think that is something that Apple simply is doing. I mean, at some point, I mean, if you're developing any kind of product, you know, at some point you have to put it out there, you have to get real world feedback, anything else, looking at the competition, talking to people, doing whatever kind of research you do will not replace real world use. And that's what Apple is doing. They're doing it better than a lot of other companies, but still they are doing it with almost every product. The iPad, I don't know, did the iPad 2 change or the software change too much? I don't think so. That might be the oddball. But the iPhone definitely, even the iPods, they changed.
I think, just to address that point, I think that the watch is different because, from my perspective, because the huge problem that I had at launch, actually, before the watch was even released, when I first tried it at the first announcement, is that this device seemed to lack any sort of a point of view about how people are going to use wrist-based computers. Right. Whereas even the 1.0 of Android Wear had a very specific idea of here is the two sentence statement that's going to inform every choice that we and our developers make about it. So you also have to acknowledge that we forget that, for instance, as revolutionary as the iPhone was, it wasn't until the iPhone 3G that it was what you would call a useful and competitive phone.
Correct.
Where someone who has a BlackBerry could even think about, I'm not even talking about they prefer it, I'm talking about, does this work on my networks? Does this have enterprise tools? Does this have a camera? Does this have the email features that I need? So yeah, they are going to iterate. But I think that this was unusual in that I don't think that Apple even asserted itself by saying that this is our vision for wearable computing. Here you go, and now we're going to defend the statement. It really was, we designed a really cool looking watch, got a great screen, and we promise we'll start putting OS features and software on it just as soon as we figure out what the hell we want this thing to do.
And we're sorry, it still looks like a pillow.
Well, you do rest on your arm and sleep sometimes. I have woken up with Apple Watch indentured face. And that's normally Sunday mornings after a full-on rager.
Basically, we've done iOS ransomware attacks are targeting US and European iCloud users. And also, there's a piece of Mac malware that's out there, backdoor.mac.elnor, that comes through easy.converter. I mean, first of all, have a chat about the specifics of these and whether they actually matter that much to people. But also then, is it time to for Mac users to become a little bit more savvy and a bit more aware of what's going on around the community? And it's not as safe as it used to be.
I'm gonna hold my ground on that for as long as possible, even though it's probably crazy. I would say for the average person, yes, you definitely should start paying aware. But I've been touting the fact that we don't have these problems for so long. I would probably be the first person to lose all of my stuff. But then again, I don't do anything weird like using programs like Easy Converter. Like, your Mac can do all of that crap by itself, either through QuickTime or in a terminal. So why are you downloading douchebagware in order to convert your M4Vs or whatever so you can copy them to your phone? Oh, I know why. Because you downloaded said movie from someplace where you weren't supposed to download it, which is why iTunes doesn't naturally move it over. So now you have to download a converter so you can take the movie that you stole to move over to your thing, and you get your thuffos. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand from this, they're talking about... So the original, if we go back to the ransomware stuff, this is the Oleg Pliss stuff, and that surfaced up in Australia a couple of years ago on IMAX, and there was a discussion about it being an iCloud breach, but Apple ruled out that that wasn't the case. But this current one that's coming and hitting iOS devices, Apple's not commented, and there's a question about whether, because they're getting in through iOS. And it's not the fappening thing where it's just a good guess because you used your famous dog's name as a password. But they're looking around $775 for this program on Darknet.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is this a serious threat of people? You know, is there a need for an antivirus in inverted commas on iOS, which I think is kind of ridiculous, really, because it shouldn't. Yeah. There's no way that Apple should be letting anything in.
Actually, there is something like an antivirus on iOS and even on OS X. Apple can block certain signatures, certain binaries from even running on the system.
Mm.
It has been that way for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years at least.
Yeah, I think 3.
Yeah. Well,
wasn't it mentioned that the gatekeeper has to be open for the one to get to your system anyway? So if you run around in Wild Wild West mode on your gatekeeper settings, it's kind of your own fault.
Yeah, we've seen that this is not always foolproof. I mean, there were some infections of well-known apps even that, they were distributed signed malware. So, can happen. Can't remember what it was.
It would take a lot for me to start recommending to people that they only install Mac apps from the Mac App Store, for instance. It already bothers me that you can't install iOS apps from anywhere than the iOS store, but I appreciate that there is an extra layer of security. There are a lot of really good, if I were to look at the entirety of my Mac app library, I would see a real minority of unsigned apps that I'm running, but the reason why I run them is because they're the type of apps that are really useful. They're quite esoteric, and whoever built them is perhaps in a university setting, and they don't even, why would they spend the time to bother to satisfy all the requirements of having an app in the App Store, even a free one, or even just simply filing the paperwork to simply get a free signature to be able to install from a downloadable binary. Again, they just wrote this tool for a simple statistical analysis package that they wrote for themselves, and they thought that other people would appreciate it. Why are they going to go bother even trying to use it anywhere else? So it's there has to make sure that whoever is planning, whoever at Apple is thinking about how to protect people, they can't be thinking that shutting down access to unsigned apps is going to be part of their layer of security. They really have to have that total thing. And the day it becomes kind of game over for the exclusivity of the Mac as being a relatively comparatively safe platform is when you start seeing like the malware Lego sets that are available for so many other platforms, where it's not just one well-funded genius hot pockets eaten Russian hacker who's creating this wonderful exploit. It is, again, a kit that you use to build exploits without the same level of expertise that's required to build the original exploit itself. Once you have the Pandora's box, the mother of demons, available for generating macOS malware, that's when life changes for every single Mac user.
Mm-hmm. I've always been really quite cautious of Softpedia, and I've also been quite cautious of Mac Update, because there's an awful lot of good stuff on Mac Update, and it's kind of sad because it's an exceptionally good shareware platform for people, for devs to get out stuff there that Apple would never sign. But I mean, just think simple things like CyberDuck. I mean, I know it's a Chinese system, but you know, you've got to take yourself out of the security loop within OS 10 to get yourself to get CyberDuck installed. And yeah, I know there's hoops they've got to jump through to be an authorized developer and that kind of stuff, but you're to a certain degree, Apple are promoting the idea of people having to disconnect their security in order to get programs that are perfectly legitimate, just not from signed developers. And
yeah, but
you don't want a Wild West equally, I agree, but
yeah, but I think that's really on the developers, because it is easy to get the certificate, and you don't need to be in the App Store. You literally just need a developer account and that certificate. And in addition to, I mean, having the app signed, you also know that it hasn't been tampered with by other people or third parties, because that is part of it. If you sign the app, then nobody can change it. And I think that's also a layer of protection for yourself. I get that certain people don't want to do it for, I don't know, some philosophical reasons, because they don't like the way Apple is doing things or whatever. But at the end, it's not Apple's fault. Apple is doing the right thing here with this certificate, with all the security, all everything they are doing. They're doing the right things. And if the developer just simply don't want to follow it, there are no rules attached.
Right.
You can even get a certificate to install a kernel extension. I mean, there you have to explain why. But if, as far as I've seen, I mean, Apple has led through a lot of them that. It doesn't seem to be an issue as long as you're doing something that simply makes sense.
So if I'm saying FileZilla is authorized and I can install FileZilla without having to deactivate security, CyberDuck can't, and that's a Chinese piece of software. Is Apple being racist, or is it developers being lazy?
By the way, CyberDuck runs with a certificate on my machine.
I had to take it off to try and get it to install on mine. Definitely.
That's interesting.
I had to deactivate Gatekeeper.
That's interesting.
Just to swing it back to the user side a little bit, it's not trivial to download things and install things that aren't signed without knowing, you know, you have to really kind of know what you're doing in order to open up Gatekeeper to allow unsigned apps. So it's not easy if you're just the casual user. And I think that's who Apple is trying to protect the most. If you know what you're doing, if you know enough about your Mac and your system to be able to disable Gatekeeper and open it up to unsigned developers, then I think you take some of that responsibility on yourself. And I think that's the right approach. I prefer open systems too. But if you're going to protect the 80% or 90% of your users who never need to download a CyberDuck or will probably not need to install some of these esoteric utilities and apps, that's probably the safest way to go. You know, if you leave everything default on your system, you're pretty well protected. If you know enough about your system to be able to turn that stuff off, then you should know enough that you need to know that you need to be careful about where you're getting your software and know what's on it before you install it.
Yeah, I gotta say though, I think Apple does a fantastic job the way they implemented it, because it's not just a case of the user gets frustrated and then turns off his security features so he can install this app that he actually needs in order to use certain campus services. It is, if you, it's so elegant. It's, if you try to run an unsigned app, it will block it and then say, if you can change this in settings, then when you go into settings, it will say, I know that I recently blocked the operation of this app. Would you like me to just make it so that this app will now be able to run unsigned without my changing any other settings? And say, yes, that's all I want. And so the user gets to go forward without still having gatekeeper security, but they can use that one app that they really, really want. Again, one of the things I like about Android is that there really is that switch that's hidden. You have to go into the basement, then through a locked door, the third, and then past a leopard, the third door of a locked file cabinet. and then
to find out that the Vogons are going to destroy your planet.
Run unsigned apps on this device. It'll say, are you sure you want to do this? Like, okay, you can do it. Congratulations. You just made your phone insecure. No good will come of this, but I warned you. Yeah. So it's, but I think a feature of Apple hardware is that they are looking out for you. And although they sometimes do that in such a way that becomes very annoying, they are looking out for you. And in the end, it makes your experience better.
You need a Mr. T-like message. Nope. You sure fool?
Oh. By the way, I mean, one, you...
No, it's more like a Catholic mother, like, okay, yes. I mean, I can't live your life for you, okay? My job is to warn you and then sit here and worry.
Because I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
You see, Andy, I was going to say, it's the Jewish moms of apps. It's going to be like, do you really want to install such an app? Do you know where this app came from? Who's been touching these
things? I thought you installed it already.
That's not typically a Catholic mom, but I could see, do you really mom. Want to install this, even though it's going to break your poor mother's heart?
Cyber mommy. Is that cyber mommy? There you go. That's what you want.
Please. So long as you're happy, that's all I care about. It's my job to suffer, so long as you're happy.
I wouldn't be doing my job as a parent if I didn't say something.
We're going to have to phone in Mike Rose to get a proper Jewish mom guilt of the turning off.
We should. That's it. Mike T. Rose, we're on the next one. We're going to get to record that, actually. We're going to have it as a phone ring.
Yeah. Well, you should have it as an alert every time you try to turn off the settings. Are you sure you want to touch that?
We get Maureen Littman in.
Yeah. But for both the Jewish and the Catholic mothers, it would be, why don't you eat something first? I made a brisket. I just put on some red sauce. Let me make you a plate.
Yeah. I made brisket.
Why can't you find a nice signed app?
You can deactivate.
Why can't you find a nice signed app?
Boom. Patrice, I love what you put in.
Why don't you run this chat. Word processor? Yeah, do you know that Sadie's app is in the App Store already?
I put in the chat, I put the command you can execute to see whether it's fine. It's signed. And by the way, my CyberDuck is signed, Ewan. I checked. You can see it. You can see it if you run that. It will tell you even the team identifier, the signature, and all of that.
I downloaded the one from the site rather than looking in. Because I thought there was one in the Mac App Store as well, actually. Now I've thought about it. But
are we talking about CyberDuck, the FTP client?
I updated it, so.
Mueller's accusing us of being racist, but that's not it. It's religious, mate. It's got nothing to do with race.
One thing in Sierra, Apple removed the option to deactivate Gatekeeper. You can still add exceptions for apps if you know how, but the option to just deactivate it is gone.
The other thing I want to mention just before we move on from the story is don't forget Sophos. Go to sophos.com. Graham Cluley's a good friend of the network. He's been around here for years coming on. He did a great show a few years ago. About why Mac users needed to wake up to the threat of malware. And I'm going back to 2012, probably 2013. And it was a fantastic show. Eric was on it. Eric Lanning was on it. And Eric put a lot of counterpoints to him, and Graham really dealt with them well. And Sophos give away Sophos Home free of charge. And if you go back to 2011, 2012, 2013, it was a bit hungry on cycles. But now it's effortless. It's absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely free. Sophos.com, sign up for it. It's well worth it. I run it on all my machines, and I don't notice any performance problems, and it's beautiful.
We did in 07, I think, we did some research into antivirus systems for all platforms, and Sophos came up first on all platforms, Linux, Windows, Mac. So we recommended, or we basically bought a license for 15,000 users.
Yep.
So. You know, and they're really I love their some of their security podcasts. Whenever something really important comes out, I posted one in a chat about two shows ago. If you go and check out BritishTechNetwork.com/chats, and then look at two shows ago, and you'll see there was one that I posted a while back talking about, you know, just malware and security. And there was a really great one on passwords, like what is the true salt of passwords versus not passwords. And, you know, and this came about when we were doing all this conversation about brute force attacks and whatnot. But it's a fantastic thing on passwords and what is the most secure passwords. And I'll redig it up and add it to this chat as well. But I also posted in the chat, if you want to solve your CyberDuck problems, go to panic.com and buy Transmit and behave yourself, because panic Transmit is bulletproof.
Yeah.
Cool. Next story, iPhone 7 to ship with 32 giga storage, not 16. On the base model.
Yay!
Fudgin' Lulia.
Finally!
They're still showing double camera on the 6, on the 7 Plus, if you like, as well as. Is this going to be enough to pull people over? Because there is issues. I mean, there's a lot of questions raised at the moment about whether there's going to be the migration from 6 to 7, and from 6 Plus to 7 Plus, forget the S. I mean, I'm due an upgrade. I've got a 6 plus, and am I going to go to 7? Camera's got to be a big leap.
Yeah.
But then after
I mean, there really has to be a major improvement, I think, for I've every year, like clockwork, I've gone out, I've gotten the latest and greatest iPhone, but this is the first year where I've actually been thinking, do I really want to spend the money on a phone that is really just kind of a maybe an interim? We keep hearing these rumors, of course they're rumors, but keep hearing the rumors that the next generation, whatever it is, the iPhone 8, whatever comes out next year, will be, you know, truly revolutionary. Who knows if that's true or not, but it does give me pause.
I can't see why Apple would do that, though, because they've always gone about the next phone is the revolutionary one. It's the best iPhone we've ever made. So why would you make the 7 knowing that the 8 was coming and let anyone else know that? I mean,
I wish that people would break themselves free of the idea that there is a new phone out and therefore they should consider buying it. Because my mantra is always that you should, any piece of software, any service, any piece of hardware, unless it solves a problem that you're having or creates an opportunity for you, why are you even spending the money, no matter how cool it is? And I think that a lot of people should really start looking at, I have a phone, if you have a phone that's 2 years old and it's still working for you and you're looking at the features and you can't picture yourself having a much better time with the new one than with the old one, save your money. That's one of the great benefits of having Apple hardware. It's built to last for years. It's built like a car in that I don't think that Apple even designs it to only have one owner over its lifetime. I don't think you can say that about many other phone makers. And they also keep it off the disabled list, off the obsolete list for years and years and years. So you can get by just fine with an iPhone 5S. For me, it would kind of it's great when you wait for you pass year after year after year, and then suddenly you find yourself looking at a brand new phone that has NFC payments, and it has fingerprint unlocking, and it has a camera that is almost twice the resolution of your old one, and suddenly you can't keep that $650 in your wallet and you're thrilled with it, as opposed to you might have bought like a phone 2 years ago that was okay, it's nicer, okay, it has rounded corners, doesn't have those hard edges, doesn't really run much faster as far as I can perceive, and it is I just threw away a whole bunch of money.
Alice is using a Windows phone at the moment, and he gets on fine with it and he likes it, but all his mates have got iPhones, and there's a certain peer pressure. He's got to have the Air Jordans, if you like, of the phone world. And I said to him, look, let's have a good bit of behavior out here for the next few months, and then if you're up to it, we'll get you an iPhone 7 when it comes out. And I'm really chuffed to see the 32 gig is probably going to be the base model, because that'd be ideal for him. But there's a bit of me going, okay, so am I really going to spend? Because what he uses it for is Snapchat, Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook. And there's a bit of me going, do I really want to spend £599 for him on a phone that actually, when he can get away with an SE, but he's not going to have an SE because all his mates have got SEs. And he's not going to have a 6 because all his mates are going to have 6s already. So he wants a 7. And it's just like, man, that's really a hell of a rat race. But the, if the 7 had been like, okay, I'm expecting a decent upgrade here, I probably would have justified in my own mind buying him a 7. And he doesn't want a 7S. He wants a 7 Plus, rather. He wants the 7. But if it's a reasonably poor upgrade, I've got to have a difficult conversation with Ellis then about this is why you're having a 5S, mate. like it or else.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough conversation to have. I mean my own phone. I'm sorry that I'm bringing an Android phone into a knife fight.
It's the market.
It's like the Google released two really nice Nexus phones last year. There's the 6P, which is much better has much better features than the 5X. And I wound up buying this mostly. I wound up buying this one chiefly because I had both of those Google from Google PR as loaners, and I felt like I liked this enough that I wanted to at least have it as a permanent part of my hardware library. And as soon as after 3 days of just setting it up with like all my apps and stuff, I just really, really liked it, and I kept using it and using it and using it. And it was sort of a refreshing look in the fact that if I were shopping for a phone more seriously, if I hadn't bought this because it was a Black Friday sale and it was just absurdly discounted for 1 weekend only, I might have talked myself into getting the one with the faster processor and the optical image stabilization and a bigger screen and the bigger capacity memory. But I saved $200 off the cost of a 6P, and I'm so really happy with this. And I can't say that I can't necessarily I got $200, okay? And I'm going to make another $200 pretty quickly. But nonetheless, I feel as though I would not have necessarily gotten $200 worth of value. And I'm just desperate for people to make that same distinction every year, particularly with the iPhone. It kind of bothers me. I was having a conversation, as a matter of fact, with a friend earlier this week about various iPhone 7 rumors, one of them being that it's going to be available in black for the first time, like not, you know, space gray, but an actual black. And that part of the discussion we were having is that are people going to, just like with the rose gold, are they going to be buying a new phone, not necessarily for the features, but because people will know if they see them carrying a black iPhone, it definitely means they have the brand new one and not that one that was a year old that, look, I can afford to buy a brand new phone every single year, man. And that's just like, oh, God, Apple should try not to encourage that behavior, because that's embarrassing. That's Apple is not a style company, they're a technology company.
Well, they are with Angela at the helm, unfortunately.
But they've always been a style company, though, Andy. Yeah. I thought I'd never say this, but I'm going to disagree with Andy and Nako. They've always been a style company to a certain extent, because they have always, well, I won't say always, for the most part, have not produced ugly tech. When you compare it to the rest of the tech out there, it's always been the bell of the ball. So although that is not a good value proposition, I would say, as an extremely style conscious person, $200 difference might make me buy what is the black iPhone, just because it is solid black. Not necessarily for the notion of purporting to anyone else that, hey, I got a new phone, because I always have the new phone. I'm kind of known for that. But because I would love to have a solid black iPhone. I've been wanting that since iPhone 1. I think that it will go great. It also will go great with my brand new black-on-black-on-black BMW i3 that I just ordered. So they'll be matching, and they're coming in. You're coming in at the exact same time.
You are a victim.
I will get my car and my new phone on the exact same day. And so as an accessory for my BMW, being able to open it and close it and control charging, I will need an iPhone 7. That being said,
there's going to be a help group for people like you.
Contrary to Mueller's belief, I wouldn't just automatically go to the 7 just for the heck of it. I think normally I only ever change every year, just because as a person who talks about it and reports on it, you know, I am sort of a meta filter for many, and I think we all use that excuse. It is a great excuse. Yes. It helps you get it past the budget conscious other half. And I was like, no, I'm a tech person, and I'm going to be on these podcasts, I have to have the new phone. So that's why I buy a new phone.
So, exactly. So my, as my grandmother would say, some people have more dollars than cents, I think. Yeah. And if, you know, and not, I'm not talking about you, Doc, but, you know, if somebody's
going to... 100%. Well, the rest of us are.
But if, you know, if somebody's going to buy a new phone and plop $600, $800 down on it just because it's a new color, okay, let them. But I don't think Apple's been a style company in the way you're describing. They've always made nice technology, but they've never been the kind of company that introduces a new product just so they can put tail fins on it, you know, let's say.
Okay, yeah, that's ostentatious too, though. Yeah.
But, right, but, you know, I think as a product matures, you get to the point where the changes are going to be iterative and not revolutionary every year or even every other year. I've always been an every other year iPhone guy, and by the time... It came, you know, by the time my old phone was 2 years old, the differences in the improvements were usually such that I was excited about getting that next phone. I think that is going to start to space out even more from everything I've heard. I don't know that the 7 is going to have anything revolutionary in it, unless you count removing a headphone jack. So maybe Apple is going to have to set new expectations about how often the refresh cycle is, and maybe it's not going to be every year anymore, or even every 2 years. Frankly, I find that fine. I'd rather not plunk down $800 a year on a phone.
Yeah, I think that part of it is that they realize that not everybody buys phones at the same time.
Right.
First, I'm not judging anybody for buying anything that they can afford for any reason. They don't have justified. I'm just saying, but there are people who will buy it every year because they feel as though they need to have the newest phone no matter what. But there are also people, any given year, their phone might be 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, and this is finally the year that they've been looking at that cracked glass for way too long, and they're ready to go. I would like to say that, boy, wouldn't it be great if Apple just jumped off the, we're going to update this phone every September, whether we have something important to say through the hardware or not. But I think that there are always going to be those people who, again, this is the year that it might make sense. This is the year when they're actually looking forward to dropping $600 on this thing. And if that's the year that they don't have a phone, it's not like they're being deprived, but this was a good opportunity to get $600 from somebody and give them a really great experience and make them feel as though their $600 was very well spent.
Mm. Muller wants to know if you're having the optional indicator package fitted to B&W, Doc.
I was going to ask you, how much are you willing to pay to have that phone detailed? Is it the same guy, or would you have a special phone detailing guy?
Strangely enough, I take my phone out of the case about twice a week and detail it. My rose gold looks exactly as it did on day one.
He's got a little teeny tiny rotary polisher that he breaks out.
I take extremely, extremely good care of my devices. And I have them all museum quality in the boxes over there, so I don't sell them off. You know, it's a thing. It's a value proposition. And so I get mad when people say, oh, that phone is too expensive. I go, expensive is a value proposition because you say this is too expensive because it's a phone, but you go to Vegas four times a week and drop $100K on a green felt because you think that somehow there's actually a system to winning. So... Shut up. Dude. You know, like everybody has
dude,
their...
Dude. Recognition of your addiction is the first step in the 12-step program.
Yeah.
So
why is Steve laughing?
Because recognition is the first step in the 12-step program, dude.
Yeah.
You've got to recognize your addiction. I'm all over there. And their museum quality.
Unfortunately, our higher power died of pancreatic cancer 3 or 4 years ago. We've been sort of rudderless since then.
No, I've got Andy Anatko's on my side, see?
No. No, again, if you have the money for something and this gives you a genuine pleasure as opposed to a distraction from your pain, then you don't have to explain anything to anybody.
I was Mr. Sandy, I don't use upgrades. I just buy them. I don't want to be anybody's contract anymore.
I was talking to a chap the other day who was a customer, and he'd had dinner with a guy who'd had dinner with one of the guys from Google. Name the two guys from Google.
Larry or Sergey.
Larry. He'd had dinner with Larry. And he was talking to him about, you know, the threats to Google's economy, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the things that Larry Page said was, one of the worrying things at the moment in the tech market is that China has stopped copying.
Yeah.
And that was, I thought that was an incredible statement. But the more I thought about it, the truer it was. And I think it's the biggest threat to iPhone. China has stopped copying. China is now creating, and that's the biggest threat in the tech market.
Google is a really, really big threat to Apple because it's been a long, long time since you could say about, Android is just a copy of iOS, or every Android phone is just a carbon copy. Apple should sue. It's been a long time since you could say that and not appropriately be laughed at. This is not a case of them doing things better than Apple or making phones or operating systems that are better than Apple's. But again, I love the concept of a point of view. Every creative art and software and hardware design are creative arts. It starts with an artist's point of view. What statement do you want to make, and what perspective are you bringing to this message? And it's for a long time now, the Android platform has had a distinctive point of view, and they can compete point for point for point, I think, with anything that Apple can do. Yeah. And the same hardware is not going to appeal to the same people, but everybody has to acknowledge that Apple is in competition, a real competition with other people. And you would hate it if you really did a frank assessment of one of our favorite companies and decided that the thing that's keeping most people interested in buying the next iPhone is the difficulty in switching to a different platform and the amount of money they've already sunk in the apps that they're already using on their iPhones. You would like to think that they have, every 2 or 3 years, you take a look at everything that's available and you would continue to buy the iPhone because it is the exact thing that you want and it is the best tool for what you use. That's still true for me every time I look at iPads. I entitled my MacBook to Death by Dr. Pepper in November of last year. I did not even consider buying anything other than another MacBook, only not soaked in Dr. Pepper and not a year and a half or 2 years old, because the MacBook is the best thing for the sort of stuff I do. But again, it earns it every single time. There's nobody more aware than I am, I think, of what I could be buying with $2,000 and the need to own a notebook. And I would much rather spend $2,000 on a MacBook than $1,100 or $1,200 on pretty much an equivalent Windows machine. So if Apple's big news every year is, hey, look at the musicians we signed to an exclusive for Apple Music, and hey, you won't believe the new color that the new iPhone's available in. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
But you know what? I'm just curious, the question, because like people say this thing about when we buy phones. There are people who do this with sneakers on a daily basis. Yeah, I have a friend that's, at least my phone does something, but I have a friend that has every sneakers known to man. And when the $500 Yeezys or the $750 custom Jordans come out, he buys like four pairs.
Yeah.
You know? And that's just so in case the other ones get scratched, you can switch to the next one. So to me, it really is a value proposition of what it is that matches your thing. And you know, I'm blessed. I don't have any kids, so I don't have tuition to pay or whatever, so I can spend, you know, on what you might call frivolous.
So I'm blessed.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the reaction of so many parents who are listening and now just nodding, looking around to make sure their spouse isn't in the room, and then amen, brother.
No, so I'm blessed because I do have children, and my 7-year-old was getting fed up of Muller trying to steal her nose this evening at the door, so she chased him. Muller fell over like an old person, went down like a sack of shit, dropped half the beer that we bought, 15 quid's worth of beer, spoosh, ba-dumpf, and he's lying on the grass with a dislocated finger.
And I'm still here.
And he's still here. Yeah, there we go.
And I do buy my, I do spend my tech money on my niece, though. I buy her everything she can get her hands on, because that's my spoiled
man. That's sweet. We've had some reviews. Thank you to those people who bothered to leave us reviews. They make a world of difference to our ranking in iTunes. This one's from Chris, who says, love the show and look forward to it every week. The new show every day. The new show, if you haven't listened to the new show with Carl Swagger, you should do. It's 5 minutes of all the big tech stories from the day before, and it's published every morning in the UK at 9 a.m. And he's in the perfect time slot. He's right in the middle of the Philippines. So by the time he's done it, it's midway through his day. He's got all of the great stories that have gone on in the previous 24 hours, and it hits your podcast feed at 9 a.m. the following morning. Perfect for the commute to work. So please, please, please have a listen to the new show if you haven't already, and leave us a review on the new show as well. Chris, that goes for you because, you know, you've left a great review on Mac. Thanks very much, mate. But leave one on News as well, as because it helps News' standings. Always great fun, and even when there's not much news, the guys make it interesting and entertaining. That would be today. Thanks, mate. Keep up the good work. I've just started donating to the Patreon fund as well. Thanks very much. If you'd like to donate on Patreon, then you can do. British Tech Network, it's patreon.com/ British Tech Network, or you can go to britishtechnetwork.com/Patreon, either way. And if you're already a Patreon subscriber, go back and check your PayPal account, because PayPal have got a nasty habit of cutting it off after a few months and not restating it. So please keep on top of that if you have given us a donation. The Bash is coming up. Watch out for the Bash. It's going to be great. It's in 2 weeks' time, 23rd of July. Yep. Here it comes. Mm-hmm. There's the Bash from last year. We had a great fun time last year. There was loads and loads of people there. The Link at Water Orton is a fantastic venue because we've got a couple of hundred square feet inside, and we've got a massive garden out the back that we can go to as well. And we had a ton of fun. There's Helen, Princess Bagel. you need to pick out which of those are balloons and which aren't. we had a fantastic race using space hoppers that was sent up by Aaron Clayton. He's going to be there again this year. And of course, it is the World Card Cutting Championships. This is the fourth year of the World Card Cutting Championships, and I intend to do the draw for it on a week on Monday. So tune into Periscope if you want to know who's drawn against who. If you need a ticket, now's the time to buy it, please, because we're filling up fast. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets and get yourself a bash ticket. Come along. We've got some good numbers this year. It's going to be great fun again. We've got the best food you can possibly have. Leanne's made all the usual stuff, and she's got the fudge brownies to die for as well. All your beers included. It's £20 per adult. Kids are free. But everything's included. So all your soft drinks, all your alcohol, absolutely everything, all your food, it's all covered. The rent of the hall, it's all covered. You don't have to buy anything at all on the day. Just turn up yourself. I did not buy beer then yet. If you want to come to the curry's the night before. It's over at the Kismet, the best curry house in the world. It's a £10 deposit for adults and kids. But then at the end, we split what's left over between the rest of us as the adults, not the kids. So, but you're buying your own beer this year because that got a bit stupid last year. Yeah. We had a big bar bill. Right. this podcast is brought to you by UK2. Please support UK2 because they support us. They're absolutely fantastic, and we couldn't do the show without them. We've got unlimited bandwidth from them, which saves us every month. And we've also got unlimited server and storage space, and they promote the live show as well as. So please look after them. And also look after Hoyer as well, because they look after us. They bought some Mac Mini for the Mac Mini Fund. The Mac Mini Fund is going rather well. We are $5 into our final Mac Mini. So we had a $25 donation, and it took us just over into that $5 mark. So we now have four Mac Minis paid for by the BTN community. Thank you very much for them on Skypewall. The guys behind me are on them, and we need just £395 rather, and that's all of the Mac Minis covered then at that point. So thank you very much to everyone who donated. As soon as we've got that finished and we complete it off, we're going to get inscriptions made, and all of you will get put onto each Mac Mini by Doc, who will show your contribution and put your message on. And Hoyer have given us one of those. They've got some fantastic glasses. These are the top loaders, which Muller is getting a pair of in the next week, I think, or so. So Mark's going to be coming down from Hoyer and showing you these on the Mac show. And also, I've got a new pair of glasses coming as well because my prescription's changed, so that's cool. And they'll be down here. Go into your local optician. When you're walking past, doing your shopping, whatever, just walk in and go, excuse me, do you do Hoyer lenses? And if they go, no, we don't, you go, oh, that's a shame, and walk away. And then send us the details of who it is, and we'll send a Hoyer rep in to get them to buy Hoyer lenses because they're the best, easily the best. Time for the cool things. Doc, you get to start us off, man. Stick us a link in and show us what your cool thing is.
I'm gonna give you a quick pick.
Can you do that in Barry White?
While I'm rustling up my link, let me give
while you're rustling up your link, do a Barry White impression. Go on.
You'll never find.
That's better than mine. No. I thought I did a fairly decent one.
Anyway, so My darling,
oh my God, I can't get enough of your love, baby.
That's pretty good too.
Oh my God. My first one is if you aren't up on the new Marco Polo game in 4K, jump on it on your Netflix. Marco Polo Season 2, off the chain. But my actual pick is my favorite utility on my Mac, something I use on a daily basis. Carbon Copy Cloner has upgraded to Carbon Copy Cloner 4. And we've been saying CCC3 for like 20 years now, I feel like. But yeah, finally they upgraded to 4, and you're just getting stability and faster. But now you also can create backups on your external drives and, you know, back up your files. So they've done some changes, and one of the best things that they've done is created this household license so that you don't have to jerry-rig jumping from machine to machine to machine to machine in order to get it to work. But we have everything with an external drive connected to it being told once a day to make a complete clone of the machine that it sits with, as well as another drive that it sits in that is the backup. So if anything ever goes down with any of my machines, I take the drive out of the external and put it into the machine, and it's exactly as it was before something happened. And then so you cannot argue with the way Cloner does. I, for one, do not touch Time Machine. I hate Time Machine. I want to kick Time Machine into man vegetables. I hate that thing. So
yep,
my replacement killer was Carbon Copy Cloner 4. Time Machine needs to be taken out the pasture and shot. So can there you go, Steve. You I said something jacked up about Apple.
No, Time Machine is great. If you don't use anything from Apple except the part that is on OS X, if you back it up to a Synology, to some kind of Linux server, it works perfectly. Just don't do it to, I don't know, something else.
Screw that. Use Carbon Copy Cloner 4.
Or that.
And if you want to hear a good review on it, some bearded twat named Steve Sandy wrote an article on his website. You can look it up. That's how I found out the upgrade came out.
One American to another not reason that stupid bearded twat is actually an insult.
I know. That was a joke. Steve is my partner, so I can joke to him. I love Steve.
Yeah.
What, are you married?
Yeah.
You guys didn't know about that?
We were on a same-sex podcast for like 4 years. I haven't got any alimony checks yet, but he has taken me out to dinner in Colorado, which was great.
Yes, I have.
That place is awesome. I think about that place at least once a month when I'm thinking I should be in Colorado right now, putting up with the crap I put up here, because I have to run from the police to get my medicine.
Andy, do you have a cool thing for a savers, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, I'm enthusiastic about Plex, the media server and the media client player app that's free for download. I think a lot of us have been looking for new ways to reinvent how we organize and enjoy our music and movies and other stuff. The unkind thing is, how can we set fire to iTunes and never have to use it ever again?
Front row.
But Plex is a pair of apps you can download. One is a host server sort of app that you can run on pretty much anything that you've got that's got a pulse. So yes, you can download it and run it on a Mac and leave it running in the background. You can run it on any on your NAS, on your Synology NAS disk station. You can even run it on a $35 Raspberry Pi computer. And the idea is that any disk that's attached to this server or it's available on the network, all you have to do is take your music and your videos and stuff and just put it in that directory. There's no like import, there's no, you know, tagging or anything like that. It's just that it will just simply find that you point it to where your music and videos are and your photos are. It will simply present it in a beautiful library through the client apps that are available for your iPhone, your iPad, through anything that has a web app, for Apple TV, for Roku, for Android, for absolutely everything that can possibly play video.
Yeah.
Rather than going through 20 minutes of features, all I can say is that I think it's prettier than iTunes. It's much more refined than iTunes. It has solved every problem that I have had with iTunes. And no matter how I want to relate to my media, the limitations that we're not being served by iTunes and the idea of having one organized database of content and the only way to switch to a different one is to quit, restart holding down the option key, you know, doing stuff like that, as opposed to simply saying I've got stuff on disks, I've got stuff on servers, but please present this to me as a really nicely organized library the way exactly that I want it. I basically last month I took another deep soak look at it because I hadn't really looked at it intensely for about a year, and Plex has continued to evolve as it's been going on. It's been available since about 2008. And I was so impressed that over the past 2 weeks, I have been totally redoing my entire library, everything that I have. And I'm not talking about a 24-hour period, 24-hour, 8 days a week process. I'm talking about just simply, I am going to, for the first time in 15 years, I'm looking at every single iTunes library I have. I am re-downloading all of my content fresh from iTunes Match. I'm re-downloading every album and track that I bought from Amazon. I'm taking my library of CDs that I had ripped. I am taking the CDs that I have in my house and I'm re-ripping them. And all the videos that I have and everything that I'm downloading from YouTube is also just being copied onto a couple of folders on my Synology NAS. And magically, all I have to do, when I sit down in front of my Roku, I just pick up the remote and everything is there and it's beautiful and it's got metadata and it'll pull articles about the albums that I'm listening to. It is just so much better than the experience in iTunes in every way I can imagine. And it doesn't mean that I have to stop using my iPad. It means that I just simply have to download a free app. You get a lot of the features for free, so you can really have a good workout with it. If you pay something like $35 or $40 a year or $150 lifetime for something they call a Plex Pass, it unlocks certain extra features, such as being able to access your library from anywhere in the world that has an internet connection, it won't just simply pull the metadata from your MP3 tracks, but it will also pull additional artist information and related artist information from another database. It's just so much better. The fact that I can be waiting for a bus and suddenly deciding that of the 800 CDs that I have today, I suddenly want to listen to the Dr. Demento album I haven't listened to in three years, and then just simply find Dr. Demento, tap it, and then start listening to it immediately. Again, I can't recommend it highly enough. It's gotten me to enjoy my music and rediscover the music that I love in ways that iTunes made just ungodly difficult.
Yeah. No, iTunes is crap. Good pick, mate. Good pick. Love Plex. Steve, what have you got for us, mate?
Actually, two things. One of them is an app. And, one of those things that I think all of us try to do at least, once a year, usually after January 1st, is, really try to make some genuine improvements in our lives. And one thing I really wanted to do this year was, I don't care if I lose any weight. I just want to be in better shape. And I was trying to figure out a good way of kind of getting into that good habit of going out and doing that. And during WWDC, of course, they had the Apple, whatever they call them, Design Awards, or App Awards, whatever they're called. Anyway, one of the apps that was out there was something called Streaks. And I took a look at it. And I said to myself, I like this. I think it really looks pretty cool. Yeah, Apple Design Awards. Anyway, it's a fun little app. It's from a company called Crunchy Bagel. It works on both iPhone and it also comes up on the Apple Watch. I've got it as one of the complications out there. And I have to say that just knowing that I have to get each one of these little goals every day has really helped. There are a lot of things that I've started putting in there. I think you can have up to 6 different habits that you can put into the system. I've got 5 right now. But it's a great way to do it. It's a beautifully designed app, both for iOS and for watchOS. Highly recommended. It's $3.99. Absolutely love it. And I do also have to do a ditto to Doc's comment about Carbon Copy Cloner 4, CCC4. I had not looked at that app literally since probably 2006, 2007, and went back to it. And I was just extremely surprised with the redesign, how clean it looks. The new features that they've built into it. I think Bombich Software, the company that makes CCC4, just did a tremendous job. And, you know, if you're looking for something different or you want something to work in addition to having a time machine backup, maybe you want a bootable clone that is updated every day and then you have your online backups, CCC4 is definitely worth taking a look at.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Patrice, what do you have for us?
I have something I've been looking for and searching for a while. If you have been in Slack, you've probably, I was asking about it a couple of weeks ago. I was searching for a really good headset for the office. I am in a lot of meetings, video calls with, I don't know, the US and then Japan or something like that. So I'm really on a call all day and I needed a really good headset. And I had two things. It had to be wireless because I wanted to walk around, and it had to be really good. Just voice cancellation or whatever you want to call it. If people are in the room and are talking, you can't hear it over the mic. I found this finally. It's actually a gaming headset, but those were the only ones that were A, comfortable, and B, just good quality. It's the Turtle Beach Stealth 500P wireless gaming headset. There are a couple of other options. This one actually does 7.1 and a lot of other things that don't work on the Mac because they don't have any drivers for it. But the basic stereo part works on any machine. I think you can even connect it to a PS4, PS3, whatever game console. But what I loved about these ones in particular is they are just good quality, just good build quality, good audio quality, and just damn comfortable. So I can just recommend them. And I think they are £79 on Amazon. I just checked.
I think I've just bought those for this.
Dude, I got the flagship version of those that I paid like $500 for, the Elite, and I swear it's the best headphones I've ever owned. The thing that's really cool about the super high-end one is I can have it connect to my Mac, my phone, and my Xbox at the same time, which sounds crazy, but if I'm playing Xbox and a phone call comes in without having to leave what I'm doing, I can answer the phone. It silences me yelling at people in the division. I can finish my phone call, hang up, and be like, hey, don't disturb me. I'm playing video game. Hang up, and then it's right back to where I was. Yeah. So excellent pick. The sound quality is amazing, and they're comfortable as hell. It's these bad boys. Mine are green because of Xbox. Blue means PlayStation. That's the only difference. Yeah, I just turned it on. Sorry.
Cool. and Chuck, what do you have for us, mate?
I have a bit of a personal choice here. I had a health scare about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I won't get into that now, but being the good journalist I am, I decided to turn it into an article. So if you check into Macworld in a couple of weeks, it'll be up there. But one of the things that it prompted me to do is to do a better job of monitoring a lot of my health items. The Apple Watch does a really good job of monitoring your heartbeat, and it's very accurate. And I learned that because I was able to calibrate it against some really high-end equipment in a hospital. So I know that now for sure. But I also wanted to check things like my blood pressure. Now, you can go into a pharmacy and use the free blood pressure machines there, but they're all over the place. They're not very accurate, and it's not very convenient. So I looked online, and I found there's a company called Withings that you may be familiar with. They produce a lot of wearables, a lot of fitness stuff. One of the things that they produce is a wireless blood pressure cuff system. It's very neat. It feels like something out of Star Trek. All you do is wrap this around your arm. After you've paired it with your iPhone, you press a button on here. It activates your phone, inflates, takes your pressure readings. It'll do it 3 times in a row if you want, so that you can get make sure you're getting a good reading. Keeps track of the readings over time, so you can see how things are trending. You can share the information if you want. Takes heart rate as well at the same time. Really terrific, makes monitoring your health extremely convenient and easy, which of course makes you do it more, which is what you want to be doing at this point. So I love this thing. It's on Amazon. It's selling right now for about £110 or about $130 on the US store. I'm going to put the link to that in the show notes. But, you know, talk about things that can kind of change your life and how technology can be a part of that. And, you know, I think this is a poster child for that. So it's been terrific.
Excellent. Good one. Very quickly, my cool thing last week on the Mac Show was the Vox Base preamp. Yep. A few people have written and said, God, that sounds great. And it is. They bought it and they love it. One thing I didn't say was it's got a drum machine on it as well. So you can get like a beat out of it and listen to and play along with. So that's that. My cool thing after that, though, this week is I bought the Vox Classic Rock preamp and I bought the Metal Classic preamp. There you go. And they are £35 each, and they are blistering. They're also, I spent the whole week playing the guitar. I've done no sodding work this week at all. So there you go. And if you want to know what I've got for my pick on the big show, and you're a bass player, it's friggin' awesome. It is friggin' awesome. And I'm not understating it by saying it's friggin' awesome, but you're going to have to listen to the big show to find out what it is.
Ah. Oh, teaser. Yeah.
Teaser, absolutely. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Oh, God, right now on the internet, it's all over the place at DOCROCK, and that's it.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Mr. Natko, where would you be, sir?
Spell my last name, and you could read my tweets. I'm at Anatko on Twitter, IHN as in Nancy, AT as in Tom. You can also go to my blog at anatko.com. I will have a really cool announcement about a really cool project that I'm starting next week. And so if you're interested at all in either hearing more of me and my opinions, then you should definitely check out my blog then and my Twitter so you could find out more about it. If you've listened for the past hour and thought, I really don't ever want to read him or see him or listen to him again, also go to my blog so you can find out how to not see any of that.
Come on the big show, come on the big show next week and launch it there. As well, there you go.
I'm sorry, we already rented the blimp, and so once you get that 50 deposit down, they don't refund that if you reschedule. So
fair enough. Steve, where are you, sir?
I'm over at Apple World Today on a pretty regular basis at appleworld.today. I can also be found on Twitter whatever it is. Stephen Sandy, STEVENSANDE.
Beyond caring. It's just, you've switched off, haven't you, mate? That's it. Stuff it. I'm done for the day. Where's my beer? I put this special shirt from, and all they've done is take the piss out of it. I'm going. Where's my beer?
Need beer.
Patrice, where are you, sir?
Yeah, don't even try to spell my last name. Just go to thepatrice.com and find all the links and everything I do there.
Dude, something has just crawled across your camera.
Oh, yeah, that's, I don't know, something.
Ooh. Your pet spider.
A fly. No, I think it's a fly.
That was weird. It just did. Patrice is going to die.
Yeah, nope. I'm going to be the Spider-Man.
And last but by no means least, it's Chuck. Where are you, sir?
I am on the Twitters at Chuck Latournous. Latournous is LATOURNOUS. I'll put it in the chat room. Also spend a fair amount of time on the previously mentioned Macworld, macworld.com. And every once in a while, you can find me at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Muller can't spell Inatko, so he hasn't seen any of the messages he's put in the chat room for him. Muller dropped all the beer earlier, unless I didn't mention that. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get us British Tech on Twitter as well. Bash is coming up. Don't forget to buy a ticket. And until then, see you soon. Thanks for listening.
Ewan, if we hang out with this lot, we have to make our names harder to spell.
We do. Mine's not bad, actually. I mean, most of the time, you know, people just write to me calling me wanker because it's easier. Oi, you're a wanker.